Good morning. It's November 12th, 2025. Here are today's top stories from Sigma Speaks. For your personalized updates, download the Sigma Speaks app.
This report discusses the outlook for Tesla Inc. and its recent challenges, as analyzed by Gary Black, Managing Director of Future Fund LLC. In its latest coverage, Benzinga reported that Black expressed skepticism about Tesla's shift towards autonomous technology and humanoid robots, labeling it a fool's narrative. He pointed out a concerning decline in Tesla's global sales, particularly in China, where the company has seen significant drops, including a 35.8% decrease in sales year-over-year for October. This has contributed to a reduction in Tesla's market share in China, which has fallen to 3.2%, the lowest since 2020. Black emphasized that over 70% of Tesla's profits still come from its electric vehicles. He raised doubts about the justification for Tesla's high stock valuation, especially given that the autonomous vehicle market is becoming increasingly competitive. He highlighted that many investors seem to overlook the rise of autonomous ride-sharing services in China, where Tesla is trailing local competitors. Adding to the sentiment, Needham analyst Chris Pierce echoed these concerns, warning that a significant portion of Tesla's future profits may rely on unproven ventures in ride-sharing and robotics, suggesting that there is limited support for its current valuation levels. Furthermore, Ross Gerber, co-founder of Gerber Kawasaki, cautioned that diverting focus from Tesla's core electric vehicle business, which he views as highly profitable, could be a strategic mistake. Tesla's stock has been under pressure, reflecting these concerns. The shares dropped by 1.26%, closing at $439.62, following reports of steep sales declines in China. Despite these challenges, the stock remains up nearly 16% year-to-date, according to Benzinga Pro. The company also faces scrutiny following the departure of key personnel related to its Cybertruck and Model 3 programs, raising further questions about its future direction.
This addresses the rising trend of CEO compensation and the criticism surrounding it, particularly highlighted by Warren Buffett's final letter as Chief Executive Officer of Berkshire Hathaway. Benzinga recently noted that Buffett expressed concerns over escalating pay packages for CEOs, which he believes are driven by envy and greed. He pointed out that many executives are using their peers' compensation figures to justify their own increases, leading to a cycle of ever-growing salaries. Buffett's remarks come amidst notable pay revisions, like that of Elon Musk, the CEO of Tesla, who has a compensation package that has drawn significant attention. This trend has implications for the broader conversation on wealth inequality, especially as reports indicate that the wealth of the top 0.1% has reached staggering levels. In fact, a recent Oxfam report highlighted that the wealth distribution in the United States is becoming increasingly skewed, with the top 0.1% owning nearly a quarter of the stock market wealth, while the bottom half holds just 1%. Critics, including Senator Bernie Sanders, have pointed out the disconnect between soaring executive pay and the reality for many Americans, where a substantial portion live paycheck to paycheck. Meanwhile, Musk has defended his pay structure, arguing that it is tied to Tesla's future performance, which he believes is justified despite the criticism. Interestingly, Buffett has previously praised Musk for Tesla's achievements, even as he passed on investing in the company. This ongoing dialogue about CEO compensation raises critical questions about corporate governance and economic fairness that continue to resonate in today's market climate.
This report covers Google's legal action against a cybercriminal group involved in a widespread SMS phishing scheme. CNBC's latest research indicates that Google has filed a lawsuit against a group known as the Smishing Triad, which is allegedly based in China. This organization has reportedly targeted over a million victims across 120 countries using a phishing tool called Lighthouse to create fraudulent messages aimed at stealing sensitive information.
According to Google, these deceptive texts often impersonate trusted brands, including the U.S. Postal Service and Google itself, to trick users into providing personal data. The company claims the group has been responsible for the theft of between 12.7 million and 115 million credit card details in the United States alone. Google's legal claims are grounded in several laws, including the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act and the Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. The company's general counsel emphasized that the goal is not just to dismantle this criminal organization, but also to deter similar activities in the future and protect consumers from ongoing harm. Additionally, Google has identified a well-organized structure within the group, including members who recruit new participants and coordinate attacks through public channels. This lawsuit is part of Google's broader initiative to enhance cybersecurity awareness and protect users, which includes the introduction of new safety features like artificial intelligence-powered spam detection in their messaging services. Looking ahead, Google is also supporting three bipartisan bills aimed at combating fraud and cyber attacks, highlighting the need for a comprehensive policy approach to address these issues effectively.
This commentary discusses Sichuan Biokin Pharmaceuticals' decision to postpone its Hong Kong share listing. As reported earlier by South China Morning Post, the Chinese drug developer made this move due to what it describes as prevailing market conditions, suggesting a potential decline in investor enthusiasm for initial public offerings in the biotech sector. Analysts from Morningstar note that this postponement may reflect a broader pullback in risk appetite, particularly as growth stock prices have softened from their recent highs. This trend indicates that the excitement surrounding biotechnology shares has started to fade, possibly due to high valuations and a shift in investor focus as the year comes to a close. Biokin had initially aimed to raise approximately 3 billion yuan, or around $422 million, to fund its research and development efforts, and to establish a global supply chain. Yet, the company reassured investors that this decision will not impact its current business operations. This situation highlights the changing dynamics in the IPO market, particularly for companies in the technology and biotech sectors as they navigate fluctuating investor sentiment.
This commentary discusses India's consumer inflation and the implications for the Reserve Bank of India's monetary policy. According to CNBC's latest report, India's consumer inflation eased to 0.25% in October, which was lower than the expected increase of 0.48%. This decline from 1.54% in September has sparked optimism for potential policy easing by the Reserve Bank of India. The central bank has revised its inflation forecast for the fiscal year ending in March 2026 down to 2.6% from 3.1%. However, the key policy rate remains unchanged at 5%. The drop in inflation is largely attributed to the reduction in the goods and services tax, a favorable base effect, and decreases in prices for various essential goods, including oils, fats, and vegetables. While the Reserve Bank of India had previously cut rates by 50 basis points in June, the effects of that move have yet to fully impact the economy, according to Governor Sanjay Malhotra. He noted that the decision to maintain the current rates was unanimous. Looking ahead, there are concerns that economic growth may slow in the latter half of fiscal year 2026 due to global trade uncertainties. Anubhuti Sahai, head of India Economic Research at Standard Chartered, indicated that inflation might rise again next year, potentially stabilizing around 4% for fiscal year 2026. She suggested that there is no immediate need for a rate cut in December, since economic growth appears to be holding steady, and the effects of previous cuts are still unfolding. In addition, the recent imposition of a 25% tariff on Indian imports by the United States, raising total duties to as high as 50%, is expected to impact labor-intensive sectors like textiles and jewelry. While exports to the U.S. represent only about 2% of India's GDP, prolonged weakness in these sectors could lead to job losses and affect overall growth. To mitigate these challenges, the Indian government has already reduced the goods and services tax on several items to boost domestic demand ahead of the festive season. Early reports suggest mixed results, with the auto and jewelry sectors performing well, while demand in other areas like textiles remains uncertain.
This report discusses Total Energy's long-term agreement with Google for renewable energy. According to a recent report from Benzinga, Total Energies has signed a 15-year power purchase agreement with Google, which will provide the tech giant with 1.5 terawatt hours of certified renewable electricity from a solar farm in Ohio. This facility is almost completed and will support Google's data centers in the area. The agreement is part of Total Energies' strategy to cater to the energy needs of major technology firms, which are known to consume a significant amount of global energy. Stéphane Michel, the president of Gas, Renewables and Power at Total Energies, emphasized that this deal showcases their ability to meet the rising energy demands of large companies while also working towards their own profitability goals in the energy sector. Total Energies is actively expanding its renewable energy footprint in the United States, with plans for a 10-gigawatt portfolio that includes various projects in solar, wind, and battery storage. This agreement with Google adds to a growing list of partnerships Total Energies has formed with other major corporations, including Amazon and Microsoft. In related news, Total Energies recently signed a production sharing contract for an offshore block in Guyana, and their latest financial results showed mixed performance, with earnings falling short of analysts' expectations. As for their stock, shares of Total Energies were trading slightly higher in pre-market activity.
This report addresses a class action lawsuit against CarMax Inc. According to Benzinga's latest report, investors who purchased CarMax securities between June 20th and November 5th of this year may have the opportunity to serve as lead plaintiffs in a lawsuit that alleges the company misrepresented its growth potential. The lawsuit claims that CarMax, along with some of its top executives, violated the Securities Exchange Act, suggesting that the company overstated its growth prospects. This allegedly occurred during a period when sales were bolstered by temporary factors, such as consumer speculation regarding tariffs. In a significant development, CarMax recently reported a notable decline in its second quarter earnings, revealing that retail unit sales dropped by over 5% and net earnings per share fell from 85 cents to 64 cents compared to the previous year. Following this announcement, CarMax's stock price experienced a steep decline of about 20%. Further compounding the situation, the company announced the termination of its chief executive officer, William D. Nash, which coincided with expectations for weak third quarter sales. This led to an additional drop in the stock price of over 24%. In light of these events, Robbins Geller Rudman Endowed LLP is encouraging those affected investors to come forward if they wish to participate in the lawsuit. It's important for potential lead plaintiffs to understand that they need to act before January 2nd of next year to be considered. Robbins Geller, known for its expertise in securities litigation, has a strong track record in recovering substantial amounts for investors in similar cases. As this situation evolves, it will be interesting to see how CarMax navigates these legal challenges and what impact it might have on its future operations and investor confidence.
This report discusses the tragic deaths of a convicted Russian cryptocurrency scammer and his wife in the United Arab Emirates, highlighting issues of rising violence in the crypto space. Decrypt.co's latest research indicates that Roman Novak, who had previously defrauded investors of significant sums, was murdered alongside his wife after a confrontation with individuals posing as investors. Novak had recently returned to the cryptocurrency scene after serving time in prison for fraud. After his release, he allegedly continued his deceptive practices, reportedly scamming investors out of nearly $500 million before fleeing to Dubai. The couple was ambushed by a group seeking access to his cryptocurrency wallets, which turned out to be empty. The aftermath of the incident has raised alarms about an increase in violent attacks related to cryptocurrency, known as wrench attacks. These attacks often involve physical threats or violence to extort funds from victims. A notable spike has been reported in these incidents, with many occurring in countries like France and the United States. David Richards, chief executive officer of the analytics firm Blockchain Unmasked, stated that the sophistication of these crimes is on the rise, fueled by higher cryptocurrency prices and the use of social media by criminals. He emphasized that while the situation is concerning, average retail investors who engage in trading through regulated exchanges are less likely to be targeted compared to individuals like Novak, who attract negative attention due to their past actions and lifestyle. Richards cautioned that this incident serves as a reminder of the potential dangers in the cryptocurrency world, particularly for those involved in illegal activities. He advised retail investors to maintain a low profile and utilize strong security measures to protect their assets. This tragic event underscores the darker side of the cryptocurrency industry, highlighting the need for increased security and awareness among participants.
This report covers JP Morgan Chase deployment of its deposit token, JPM Coin, for instant transfers among institutional clients. Cointelegraph's latest research indicates that JP Morgan has initiated the use of JPM Coin, which allows institutional clients to make real-time transfers of US dollar deposits on a blockchain platform known as Base, developed by Coinbase. This move represents a significant step for the largest bank in the world by market capitalization, enabling clients to send and receive funds around the clock, vastly improving on the typical processing times seen in traditional banking systems. The bank's blockchain division, led by Naveen Malella, highlighted that this token serves as a direct claim on deposits held at JP Morgan, distinguishing it from traditional stablecoins, which are often issued by private entities and backed by other assets. In addition to this initiative, JP Morgan has recently collaborated with Singapore's DBS Bank to develop a framework for on-chain transfers between their respective deposit token ecosystems. This is part of a broader push within the financial industry toward tokenization and blockchain technology. Looking ahead, the bank is also expanding its cryptocurrency offerings, recently allowing clients to use Bitcoin and Ether as collateral for loans. This shift indicates JP Morgan's commitment to embracing the evolving crypto landscape, which is increasingly interwoven with traditional banking practices. Overall, JP Morgan appears to be positioning itself as a leader in the integration of blockchain technology within conventional financial systems. That's all for now. Thanks for listening and have a great morning.